Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Yesterday, the U.S. Senate voted 78-22 to renew and expand the Violence Against Women Act. The act reauthorizes the two-decade-old act that has shielded millions of women from abuse and helped reduce national rates of domestic violence. The Senate bill has new assurances that Native American women will have equal access to the act's anti-domestic violence programs. The legislation also includes a provision allowing tribal courts to prosecute non-Indians on reservations. Republican leaders in the House are now working to come up with their own version of the bill. Terry Henry is on the board of the Indian Law Research Resource Center. She is the principal director of ClanStar, an organization incorporated under the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians devoted to improving justice to strengthen the sovereignty of indigenous women. She's also a founding member of the National Congress of American Indians Task Force on Violence Against Native Women, and she joins us on the line from North Carolina. Ms. Henry, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Mr. Gerke. I'm glad to be here.
Well, just to sort of frame what's going on here. How serious is the violence against women on the nation's reservations?
You know, if I can start with some statistical information, I think that'll kind of give your listeners their understanding of what we're facing on Indian reservations. 3 out of 5 American Indian and Alaska Native women have been assaulted in their lifetimes. 34% of American Indian and Alaska Native women will be raped in their lifetimes. 39% of American Indian and Alaska Native women will be subject to violence by an intimate partner. And the Census Bureau reports that 59% of assaults against Native women occur at or near private residences. 59% of American Indian women in 2010 were married to non-Native men. And 46% of people living on reservations were non-natives of a single race. To kind of really support the provision that we have in the Senate Bill 47, this statistic I think is the most telling, and that is that United States attorneys declined to prosecute nearly 52% of violent crimes that occur in Indian country, and 67% of those cases declined were sexual abuse related cases. On some reservations, Native women are murdered at more than 10 times the national average.
So how does this legislation, the Violence Against Women Act, how does this fix these problems, particularly with the cases not being prosecuted?
Indian tribes are the only governments in America without jurisdiction to protect women from domestic and sexual violence in our communities. How this legislation will help is that if we can get the very limited jurisdictional fix that we're asking for, our tribal governments will be able to keep our communities safe and to protect our women. We have situations where this is how it works. If a non-Native abuser is in a abusing a Native woman, if it's on reservation land, that individual, if law enforcement show up, that individual can't be prosecuted anywhere. State courts typically won't take these cases, primarily because the incident occurred on tribal lands. And the tribal court doesn't have jurisdiction over a non-Native person for criminal cases. And so we have a jurisdictional vacuum, a void, that our Native women are falling through this crack. And we are really trying to keep our community safe and protect our Native women.
So that this legislation will part of what it's intended is to fix that jurisdictional void.
Yes.
So and
yes, that's right.
So then the tribal courts, they will be able to prosecute the non-Indians?
Yes. Let me just add that Indian chiefs of police say that this is one of the most responded to crime that occurs on Indian reservations. So and we have in tribal courts now that because we have no jurisdiction, we don't have the ability to take these guys and hold them accountable in a system that that really is mirrored in many ways that's very similar to systems that the non-native courts have. And so we are just asking for the ability to do that. We have many tribes across the country have the capability to address these the issues of, we have tribal justice systems, we have law enforcement, we have tribal prosecutors, we have tribal courts with bar licensed judges. We have some, and some tribes, not all tribes, have these capabilities, but some of them do, and this is limited in that way, that it's a very narrow provision for the law, and it's also narrowly tailored for the tribal justice systems that have the ability to handle those kinds of cases.
The expansion of the Violence Against Women Act passed by the Senate yesterday, is this the first legislation that really addresses violence against women on reservations?
No, in 1978, the Congress passed the Family Violence Prevention Services Act. That act provided funding for shelter and prevention services, but it's very limited to those particular program areas. Beginning in 1994, when the Violence Against Women Act was first passed, this act particularly had the most comprehensible provisions in it that are tied to funding sources for shelter and victim services, law enforcement, courts, prosecutors. And then again in 2005, it was reauthorized in 2000, and then again in 2005, the Violence Against Women Act addressed much of the violence through programs and fundings. It also created new federal crimes, but what we've learned now is that it's not just about the programs, it's about making the law equal for all criminals, and Native women deserve justice.
Well, it's my understanding in reading about some of this is that the issues that the tribal court issue is one of the major hurdles, particularly as this legislation is tackled by the U.S. House. Is there room for compromise, or are there some compromises that you're aware of that have been discussed that will still address the problems of that jurisdictional void and the problem with non-Indian defendants?
You know, we have been looking at this for a really long time, and, we understand what the obstacles are for some members of Congress, and essentially what they're saying is that the tribal provisions are unconstitutional. Well, that's not true. The tribal provisions are constitutional. The amendment that was introduced by Senator Coburn, which attempted to strip the language from the bill, was defeated soundly in the Senate. And the grounds of constitutionality for these provisions are clear, and any arguments against those grounds lost it in a straight-up or down vote this week. That vote was 78 yeas to 22 nays. And as far as bipartisan, we had 17 Republicans that voted with voted for the Senate Bill 47. Look, this isn't about us versus them. It's about everyone delivering a solution, and the path forward is clear. The stakes are very high to be playing bipartisan politics here. Members of both parties have supported this legislation, and leading House Republicans with tribes in their district know the situation better than those who don't. So we're asking those members of Congress who don't have tribes to listen to Tom Cole of Oklahoma and Darrell Issa of California. They have agreed that the safety of all women, including Native women, must not be compromised.
Are you encouraged then by the bipartisan support in the Senate? This is an issue that's been debated in Congress for some time.
Yes, I'm very encouraged, and I've been myself and several other tribal leaders have had our boots on the ground on Capitol Hill, talking to congressional members on both sides of the Congress. We're encouraged, but we also know that there seems to be some misunderstanding about about what the real issues are, and it's unfortunate that we wind up with people thinking about constitutionality issues that really speak towards protection for people who are perpetrators of violence. We understand how important those constitutionality issues are because we're citizens of the United States as well. We would like to have our constitutional protections as well. And so, you know, we feel that there is no reason for any further delay, that violence cuts deep into the hearts of our community. Addressing violence against any women, including Native women, is a priority of all Americans, and the safety of both Native and non-Native communities should not be marginalized.
Native women
in our surrounding communities need justice, not more obstructions to it. The only obstacle standing in the way is the politics, and we really need policy solutions that solve a problem.
Well, Ms. Henry, we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday and discussing this issue.
Thank you for your interest in the Violence Against Women Act.
That's Terry Henry. She's on the board of the Indian Law Resource Center. She's the principal director of Clan Star, an organization incorporated under the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians devoted to improving justice to strengthen the sovereignty of indigenous women. She's also a founding member of the National Congress of American Indians Task Force on Violence Against Native Women. She joined us on the line from North Carolina. And that's it for this edition of Dakota Midday. Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Producer of Dakota Midday is Stephen Zwemke. We had assistance from Nathan Poole. On Tuesday, U.S. Senator Tim Johnson released the Senate Banking Committee's agenda for the 113th Congress. And on tomorrow's Dakota Midday, Bren Afdahl, director of the South Dakota Division of Banking, will discuss the Senate Committee's agenda and how it would affect South Dakota. That's tomorrow at noon Central, 11 Mountain. I'm Carl Gerke. You're listening to South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Stay tuned. Talk of the Nation is coming up next.